Welcome to the BritishBattles.com podcast on the Battle of Corunna. The battle, also known as the Battle of Elvina, that ensured the escape of the British Army from Spain on 16th January 1809 during the Peninsular War, with the death of Sir John Moore at the moment of success. My name is John McKenzie. I am the editor of BritishBattles.com. I write the text for the entries in BritishBattles.com. I also select the illustrations and draft the maps under my nom de carte of John Fawkes. I would invite you to look at the battle site at www.britishbattles.com/peninsula-war/battle-of-Corunna, where you will see a number of illustrations and a map. I hope you enjoy the podcast, and I invite you to send me your comments on info@britishbattles.com. The Battle of Corunna was fought in Galicia, northwestern Spain, between the British and the French. The generals at the Battle of Corunna were Major General Sir John Moore against Marshal Soult. Sir John Moore's army numbered 35,000 men. The French army numbered 153,000 men. From Astorgas, Napoleon left the pursuit of Moore's army to Soult, whose corps numbered around 35,000 men. The result of the Battle of Corunna was that the French forced the British army to retreat across northwest Spain, suffering substantial losses, and leave Spain by the port of Corunna. On the other hand, the French felt cheated that the British army was unable to escape, and the British troops considered they had performed well in the battle, and their self-confidence was much restored. You will see the order of battle of each side, and the British regiments involved in the battle, on the British Battles website. At the end of October 1808, the Emperor Napoleon, at the head of a large French army, assembled in the northern Spanish city of Vitoria, prepared to place his brother Joseph on the throne of Spain by force. Several Spanish armies gathered to resist Napoleon. The British corps in Portugal was ordered to advance to Burgos and assist the Spanish. Major General Sir John Moore now commanded the British troops in Portugal, following the departure to England of Generals Burrard and Dalrymple and Sir Arthur Wellesley, to face the inquiry into the Convention of Sintra, which had enabled Marshal Junot and his French army to escape from Portugal after the Battle of Vimeiro, being transported to French ports by the British fleet. Moore commanded 23,000 troops in Lisbon and expected to be reinforced by 10,000 more men due to arrive at Corunna under Sir David Baird. As Moore proudly declared, "No British general has commanded so many soldiers since the time of Marlborough." Moore sent his infantry by the northern route through Coimbra, Celorico and Badajoz to Salamanca in Spain. Late anxieties about the state of that road caused him to divert his artillery and cavalry by the southern Ciudad Rodrigo road. Arriving at Salamanca, Moore learnt that Napoleon had defeated the Spanish armies and was already in Burgos, Moore's intended destination. Soon afterwards, the French entered Madrid. The British army, outnumbered by some 2-1, was now threatened. Nevertheless, Moore felt reluctant to abandon the Spanish and advanced on Soult's corps in Valladolid. Moore had lingered within striking distance of the large French forces for too long. Napoleon was coming after him, and it was imperative that the British army retreat with all speed to Corunna in the northwest corner of Galicia for evacuation by the Royal Navy. It was late in the year 1808, and the retreat was one of great hardship. From Astorgas, Napoleon returned to France and left Marshal Soult to conduct the pursuit. The British rearguard, comprising General Paget's reserve brigade, Colonel Crawford's brigade, and the British cavalry, seized every opportunity to hold off the French. Holding actions were conducted by the cavalry at Benavente, by Paget's reserve at Cacabelos, and by the whole army at Lugo. While the main army took the direct route over the Cantabrian mountains to Corunna, Moore sent the two light brigades on the western road via Orense to Vigo to secure that route, in case it was necessary to meet the British fleet at that port. This force comprised Robert Crawford's 1st Light Brigade and Charles Alton's 2nd Light Brigade, both referred to as the flank brigades. Other than in the rearguard, the discipline of many of the British regiments of foot disintegrated, and the troops ravaged the countryside and villages through which they passed. A notorious incident took place at Bombibre, where 200 British soldiers became so drunk in a cellar that they had to be left to the French. During the retreat, the carts carrying the army's reserves of cash broke down, and the money had to be thrown down the mountainside, some of it being retrieved by the pursuing French dragoons. The British army marched into the port of Corunna on the night of 11th January 1809, many of the troops in a state of exhaustion. The French were some distance behind, but the fleet was not in harbour. The transports did not reach Corunna from Vigo until 14th January 1809. On 12th January 1809, Moore embarked the sick and some of the stores on those ships in Corunna harbour and prepared to give battle to the French while he waited for the arrival of the main fleet. Three bridges gave access to Corunna for the pursuing army of Marshal Soult: the bridge at El Burgo on the main Madrid to Corunna road, the bridge further south at Cambria, and the most southerly bridge at Cella. The French had to repair the bridges at El Burgo and Cambria, damaged by British engineers, before Soult could launch an attack on Moore's army. French infantry began to infiltrate across the El Burgo bridge late on 13th January 1809 and occupied the village of El Burgo. On 14th January 1809, French cavalry and guns were able to use the bridge and begin the build-up for the attack on Moore's army waiting around Corunna to leave Spain. The British transport fleet arrived in the harbour late on 14th January 1809, and the British embarked the dismounted cavalry with 1,000 horses and 50 guns. 8 British and 4 Spanish guns were kept ashore with teams of horses. The sight of the arriving British ships stimulated Soult to begin his attack after some prevarication. Moore's main position lay along the Montemero Ridge, running west to east from the village of Elvina to the Burgo estuary. Bentinck's brigade held the ground around Elvina, with Manningham's brigade on its left and Ward's Guards Brigade in reserve behind, all of Baird's 1st Division. On their left flank, Leith's brigade held the ground to the Corunna road, with Hill between the road and the Burgo estuary, and Catlin Crawford's brigade in reserve behind the crest of the ridge, all of Hope's 2nd Division. A mile to the north of Elvina, Paget's reserve division held the village of Oza, with Fraser's division half a mile to the west of Oza, these formations protecting Moore's right flank and the approach to Corunna from the west. The fighting began on 15th January 1809 on the heights of Palavea, running parallel to the Montemero Ridge, 3/4 of a mile to its south, as the infantry of Merle and Mermet's divisions, supported by Lorge's and La Housset's dragoons, moved onto the heights to push back the British advanced pickets. A brisk fight developed between three companies of French voltigeurs, supported by horse artillery, and the British 5th Foot. In attempting to capture the French guns, the British were surprised by the voltigeurs, firing from behind a wall, the 5th Foot losing their colonel and forced back with heavy casualties. All along the heights, the British advance parties were driven back, and the heights of Palavea and Peñasquedo, occupied by the French divisions of Merle and Mermet, joined the next afternoon by Delaborde's division. 10 heavy French guns took post on the heights of Peñasquedo, ready to bombard the village of Velvinia in support of Merle. On 16th January 1809, Marshal Soult surveyed the battlefield from the heights of Palavea and Peñasquedo. Soult could see, positioned facing the French on the slopes of Montemero, the lines of Baird's 1st Division and much of Hope's 2nd Division. Catlin Crawford's brigade was out of sight behind the crest of Montemero. Paget's reserve division and Fraser's 3rd Division were in the distance and probably invisible to Soult. The French army was drawn up, with La Houssaye's dragoon division on the extreme left, Mermet's infantry division facing Elvigne, supported by the 10 heavy guns, Merle's infantry division in the centre, and Delaborde's infantry division forming on the right. Half of Laugier's dragoon division stood behind the French right on the estuary coast, with the other half detached on the far bank of the Burgo estuary. Fortescue remarks on Soult the contrast between his considerable strategic flair and his lack of resolution in the face of battle. Soult's indecision showed on the 16th of January 1809, the French army waiting for the order to attack, the opportunity to capture a significant number of British troops, ebbing with the loading of Moore's ships. At 1:30 p.m., Moore commented that his army could be away within a few hours. But Soult had just given the order to attack, Mermet on the left, Merle in the centre, and Delaborde on the right. General of Brigade Jardin led the attack on Elvigne with a mass of 500 voltigeurs. Bentinck's brigade was formed with the 4th King's Own on the right, the 50th on the hillside above Elvigne, and the 42nd Black Watch on the left. Jardin advanced into Elvigne, driving the British pickets out of the village, the French heavy guns firing on the British lines on the hillside, while the main body of Mermet's division attacked from the heights of Peñasquedo at the run, the French 47th Regiment advancing to the west of Elvigne, the French 31st Regiment penetrating into Elvigne and advancing around the eastern side of the village. It was a feature of Moore's generalship that he exercised close supervision at points of crisis, as did Wellington. It is reported that the British troops, about to be attacked at Elvigne and unsettled by the French heavy gunfire, murmured along the ranks, "Where is the general?" They meant Moore. They were not disappointed. Moore galloped up, and after a brief visit to the brigades on the British left flank, returned to supervise the deployment of the British battalions around Elvigne. Moore directed Charles Napier, commanding the 50th Regiment, to reinforce the pickets in Elvigne. To counter the threat to outflank the British line on the right, Moore ordered the 4th King's Own to bring its right wing back at a right angle, and sent orders to General Paget to bring his division up on the flank. Moore appears to have directed the battle on the right flank from near its beginning, General Baird being at some stage struck by a cannonball and disabled. One column of the French 31st Regiment halted to deploy on the eastern side of Elvigne, and the 42nd Black Watch were ordered by Moore to attack them. The 42nd advanced, fired a volley, and charged the French 31st, driving them back to the bottom of the hill, where the 42nd halted behind a wall. Soon afterwards, the second column of the French 31st emerged from the northern end of Elvigne and were charged by the 50th Regiment as the French attempted to form up after their advance through the village. The 50th drove the French infantry back through the village in extremely heavy fighting, a detachment of voltigeurs being captured after attempting to hold the village church. Napier took his 50th Regiment through Elvina and was forming to continue his attack. Instead of reinforcing the 50th, Bentinck withdrew the British troops still in Elvina, leaving Napier to be counterattacked by Mermet's reserves and his battalion driven back, Napier being severely wounded and captured, and his major killed. Meanwhile, Moore brought up the two battalions of the 1st Guards and launched one battalion in an attack on the French centre. As the Guards advanced, the 42nd Highlanders began to withdraw, compelling Moore to lead them back into the line in person. As he led the Black Watch forward, Moore was struck by a round shot fired by the French guns on the heights of Penasquedo and thrown from his horse, his left arm nearly severed and his chest and lungs severely damaged. Moore was placed by a bank before being carried to the rear, while an officer rode off to find General Hope and inform him that he was now in command, both Moore and Baird being wounded. In the meantime, there was no senior officer to direct the British right wing. The French pursued the 50th Regiment through Elvina and were only halted by the 2nd Battalion of the 1st Guards and driven back into the village. Darkness was falling and both sides in the area of Elvina, now exhausted, withdrew from the village. While the fighting around Elvina was taking place, on the extreme left of the French attack, the four battalions of the French 47th Regiment enveloped the British 4th King's Own on the right flank of Moore's line. The 4th, from positions behind a wall, held the French attack until Paget's division came up to relieve them, the 91st and 20th Regiments advancing up the right bank of the river Monelos, while the 52nd Light Infantry and the 95th Rifles, with the 28th in support, came straight up the valley and took the French 37th in flank, forcing the French regiment to retreat. Two of La Houssaye's dragoon regiments twice attempted to charge the 95th Rifles, but were driven back by the difficulty of the ground and the steady fire of the 95th. Paget seems to have halted, level with the rest of the British line, although the 95th may have attempted, unsuccessfully, to storm the French guns. It is claimed that the 95th Rifles took 150 prisoners during their attack. Merle's French division in the centre began an attack on the 42nd as the Highlanders advanced, but were in turn taken in flank by Manningham's brigade. Merle turned to deal with Manningham, and the two forces spent the rest of the day in a furious combat, which engulfed Leith's brigade and only petered out with the fall of darkness. On the French right, General Foy of Delaborde's division began his attack on the village of Piedra Longa, overlooking the Burgo estuary, late in the afternoon. The British 14th and 92nd Regiments contested the village, the combat swaying backwards and forwards until it also petered out with the fall of darkness, neither side having gained much of an advantage. At around 6 p.m, the fighting ended all along the line. It is conjectured that if Moore had not been fatally injured, he might well have developed the attack by Paget's reserve division, enveloping Soult's left wing, and possibly capturing the French guns on the heights of Penasquedo. As it was, Hope decided to end the contact with the French troops and hurry the evacuation of the army onto the British transports. After consultations with Royal Navy senior officers, the army began its withdrawal from Montemero at 9 p.m, leaving their campfires burning and marching down to Corunna to be taken onto the ships. The embarkation continued through the night, and at dawn, the last pickets fell back from the countryside surrounding Corunna to go on board. With daybreak on 17th January 1809, the French discovered the absence of the British troops and advanced onto the heights of Santa Margherita, overlooking Corunna, and opened fire. This fire interrupted the ceremony taking place in a bastion of the citadel. A party of soldiers from the 9th Foot, with a chaplain and four officers, Anderson, Colborne, Stanhope, and Percy, were carrying the body of Sir John Moore to a newly dug grave. The burial was hurried by the French gunfire opening on the British fleet. Hill's brigade, the covering force, was taken on board and the fleet sailed for England. The British casualties during the retreat to Corunna were around 4,000 men killed, wounded and captured, of whom 800 to 900 were casualties at the Battle of Corunna. The British regiments that suffered the heaviest casualties in the Battle of Corunna were the 50th Foot, with five officers and 180 men as casualties, the 42nd Black Watch, with six officers and 140 men as casualties, and the 81st Foot, with 11 officers and 139 men as casualties. These regiments suffered particularly from the fire of the 10 French guns positioned on the heights of Penasquedo, to which there was no British reply. The French casualties at the battle were around 900 men killed, wounded and captured. The 31st Light of Mermet's division lost 330 killed, wounded and captured. The Military General Service Medal 1848 was issued to all those serving in the British Army present at specified battles during the period 1793 to 1840, who were still alive in 1847 and applied for the medal. The medal was only issued to those entitled to one or more of the clasps. There were 21 clasps available for service in the Peninsular War. The Battle of Corunna was one of the clasps. The Battle Honour Corunna was awarded to the British regiments present at the battle. For a full list of those regiments, see the British Battles website on the Battle of Corunna. The British Army arrived in England in a terrible state, but by May 1809 it was back in Portugal under the command of Sir Arthur Wellesley, later the Duke of Wellington. The British Army finally left the peninsula in 1814, over the Pyrenees Mountains into France. There is controversy as to what Moore achieved in his 1808-09 campaign. Fortescue takes the view that Moore's advance into central Spain disrupted the French plans to advance into Portugal and capture Lisbon, leaving the Portuguese capital available as the main base for Sir Arthur Wellesley's return to the peninsula in May 1809, a crucial advantage. Charles Napier, commanding the British 50th Foot, was severely wounded and captured during the counterattack by the French 31st Regiment outside Elvigne. Napier was protected by a French drummer called Guibert against his aggressive comrades. Marshal Soult ensured that Napier was nursed back to health and conveyed to Britain to convalesce. Napier returned to serve under Wellington in the peninsula in 1810. The French general Jardon. Fortescue describes Jardon as a crabbed, foul-mouthed, hard-drinking old soldier who talked the French of the canteen and could hardly write his name. Though a general, he never encumbered himself with aide-de-camp, servant, horses or baggage, but marched on foot with the advance guard. In action he carried a musket among the foremost of the skirmishers, and, so long as he could burn powder, was perfectly happy. Such was the Voltigeur General, brave as a lion and a born fighting man. Jardon was killed in battle later in the 1809 fighting against the Portuguese. In contrast to the accounts of drunkenness and indiscipline during the retreat to Corunna, there are stories of gallantry and hardihood. Sergeant William Newman of the 43rd Light Infantry gathered a party of soldiers who were trudging across a field, and fought off an attack by French cavalry. He was commissioned for this feat. The French commander, Marshal Soult, erected a memorial to Sir John Moore in the citadel at La Coruña, which stated, "John Moore, leader of the English armies in Spain, slain in battle, 1809. To commemorate his death, Charles Wolfe wrote a poem entitled "The Burial of Sir John Moore at Corunna." The full text is given on the British Battles website on the Battle of Corunna. For references on the Battle of Corunna, see the extensive list of references given at the end of the British Battles Peninsular War Index at www.britishbattles.com/peninsula-war. That is the end of this podcast on the Battle of Corunna. I hope you have enjoyed it and thank you for listening. I would invite you to look at the British Battles website on the Battle of Corunna at www.britishbattles.com/peninsula-war/battle-of-Corunna, where you will find pictures of the battle, portraits of the commanders, images of the regiments that took part, and the commemorative medals, and my map of the battle. My next podcast is the Battle of the Douro. This battle, also known as the Second Battle of Oporto, saw Sir Arthur Wellesley's, later the Duke of Wellington, successful passage of the River Douro at Oporto in Portugal on 12 May 1809 during the Peninsular War, forcing Marshal Soult's French army into headlong and disastrous retreat to Spain.